take your Bibles. Let's go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107 this evening. Let's read the first three verses, and then we're going to look down through about verse 32 this evening of this chapter. But look at the first three verses to get us started. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. This past Wednesday, I trust you were able to view our service. It was a stream service only. Pastor Edwards was here and preached for us out of Psalm, what was it, chapter 3 and 4? I believe he was at Psalm 3 and 4. And on the next day, he gave us a challenge, I think out of Psalm 11, to our little pastor's fellowship we had. But Psalm 3 and 4, what a blessing that was. If you did not get to view that, I'd encourage you, go back in our archives there and listen to last Wednesday's message. It'll be a blessing to you. And Pastor Edwards mentioned on how he had gone through some times of discouragement recently. COVID, he and his wife had gotten COVID at some point. The elections didn't go the way he wanted them to go. He had a shoulder injury and shoulder surgery. That's what he bellyached the most about that night, remember? He talked about that's the worst pain he's ever had. I heard that how many times that day he was here, how much pain that was, and I'm sure it was. But he was kind of teasing about, you know, those things and being depressed. And he mentioned and he alluded to where he went to get a refocus. And he went to the Psalms and how God had worked in his heart and ministered in his heart. And I think Psalm 3 and 4 and that message that he shared with us Wednesday night will be a help to you. And so I took that same thought and I spent a little bit of time here in Psalm 107. You know, the historical setting of this and the authorship of this book is, or of this Psalm, chapter 107, is there's different thoughts on it, some speculation of what it may be, and there's not 100% agreement on it, so I can't give you a definitive answer on that this evening. Some feel that it's about Israel coming out of the wilderness in those years of wandering and getting ready to go into the promised land, and if that's what they think probably David wrote this psalm, looking back at that. Others feel that this is a psalm that is after the Babylonian captivity of Judah, and they're released when King Cyrus overthrows the Babylonian Empire, and Judah's been in captivity for 70 years, and they go back to Jerusalem. And they find the city torn and worn down, and no temple, no walls, and it's a mess. And so, and if that's the case, they believe Ezra wrote it. And I lean towards that second thought there of this being a psalm that's written after the exile is over, their return to Jerusalem. And I could be wrong. That's kind of where I lean towards that. Can you imagine coming back to an area after 70 years? Just this morning, I met Matt LaRoche had family in, and was it your brother-in-law that lived here? How many years ago was that, Matt? Do you remember?
Like 35, 10 years.
Yeah, so 20, 25 years ago, his dad was stationed here, and he lived in Woodbridge, and then now his brother-in-law lives here, and so he came back, and he's like, this place, it's completely different. He goes, I've driven all over, went and looked at our old house and all those things. He goes, I can't believe how much it's changed. And I'm sure you've experienced the same type of things. When I go back home to where I'm from and there's new stores, there's new buildings, there's empty stores and empty buildings now, and things change and go about. Several years ago, about 5 years ago this summer, my son and I we took a little trip and we went down to Arkansas and we did some hiking, we did some kayaking and some fishing, but the highlight of the trip, my parents were down there visiting family at that time, and we went to visit them and my dad and mom's old hometown, Mount Ida, Arkansas, on one of those days, my dad, who was 82 then, we took him out and I said, Dad, just drive us all around, show Silas where you grew up and all those things. And as we drove, you know, we're talking 60, 70 years ago. And there was times he's like, well, I think we go this way. But things had changed so much. If this is truly an exilic, a post-exile psalm, they've been out of Jerusalem for 70 years. Some of these people have never been to Jerusalem. They were born in exile. They've heard about Jerusalem. They've heard about Solomon's temple. And they've come back and they find the city of Jerusalem completely destroyed. The temple that they've heard about is long gone. The area has been overrun by other nations. And this is just an awful time. But what we see here is that this is a psalm of praise. Oh, give thanks is the very first words of this psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Now, it's not based, their thanksgiving is not based on Jerusalem, the temple, their circumstances, but it says this, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Church, I trust you can claim this and believe this, that no matter how bad our lives get, God is still good. No matter how difficult things may be in our life, God is still good and his mercy endures forever. And we ought to be ready and anxious to give praise. Look what it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Listen, praise even in difficult times, thanksgiving in difficult times. The redeemed of the Lord should be ready to say so. I really enjoyed this last Thanksgiving on that Tuesday evening, I guess it was, when we do our praise and thanksgiving service. What a blessing. But listen, if you're waiting till just that one night a year to give praise, then we're missing it. If you're waiting for a church service to take opportunity to give praise to God, we're missing it. Each and every day as the Lord reveals things to us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're saved, be ready to give thanks and praise to our great God. This is a psalm of thanksgiving. Not only in verse 1 and 2 do we see that, but notice verse number 8. We'll look at this again here in a moment, but look at verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You notice that verse number 8? Look at verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse number 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. One more time. Verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, if you and I were typing that out, we would have went over there and marked that, copied it, and pasted it in those next verses, wouldn't we? But the psalmist wrote it out four times. This is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. They've been released, but they're not going back to a place of luxury. In fact, most of the people decided to stay in Babylon. They'd made a life there. They said, we've got businesses here. We've got a life here. We're staying here. And just a handful of people went back in two different returns there. And if this is the first return, it's just a small group of people that go back. They're going back to a torn down city with nothing there for them, and yet they find reason to praise God. In the short time I'm going to take this evening, I just want to give you three facts and then end it with a question for you. Three facts and then end it with a question. First of all, notice with me this evening, the condition of the people, their condition. What the psalmist does here is he paints us four pictures within this psalm of the condition of the people, their types, their analogies, their pictures of what they were, their condition was. Notice with me, first of all, starting in verse number 4. It says, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. The first picture that the psalmist paints is of one that's wandering or lost in the wilderness. These people, they have no direction. They don't know for sure where they're at. And it's just a time of wandering. They're in a solitary way. They have found no city to dwell in. They're hungry. They're thirsty. Their soul is fainting, lost in the wilderness. But he also describes their condition as one bound in a dungeon or a prison. Look with me down to verse number 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction in iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. They're pictured there in a dungeon, in a pit, in a prison. And they're chained, and they're bound. They're lost in the wilderness. They're bound in prison. He pictures one on their deathbed. Look down to verse number 17. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. He pictures them in the wilderness, in the prison, on their deathbed. And then finally, he pictures their condition on the stormy sea. Look at verse number 23. It says, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, and lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. As I consider this, verse 26, they mount up to the heaven and they go down again to the depths. I thought of our sailors in here. Many of you sailors have been out on the high seas in those big storms, and you've been high and you've been low, and you know the effect that it has, and maybe even been in some very difficult storms. Now the psalmist paints four pictures of the condition of these people. And I'm sure tonight you could paint some pictures of some difficulties you've been in. You could get creative, and in each of these situations, we see desperation, we see no hope, we see difficulties, we see heartaches, and I'm sure we all could go there and find that type of condition. Now remember, this is their condition, and yet it's still a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. This is a time of difficulty, and yet they are still praising God. That is their condition. Their condition then leads them to their repentance. Let's notice the repentance that we find in this passage of Scripture. We find it four times, all affiliated with those four conditions. Look with me, first of all, to verse number 6. As we were considering here the condition of being lost in the wilderness, it says in verse number 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Notice verse number 13. This is under the context or under the heading of being bound in prison or in that pit. Verse number 13 says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. We go down to verse number 19. And again, this is that one that's on his deathbed. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Notice verse number 28, under those on the stormy seas, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Four conditions, and in each of those conditions, it leads them to repentance. It leads them to crying out to the Lord. Do you notice as it describes the condition in verse 4 and 5, verse 6 begins with then. In verse 10 and 11 and 12 there, it describes their condition. And verse 13 begins with then. The same thing in verse number 19, then. The same thing in verse number 28, then. Their condition, the situation, pushed them, hurted them, moved them to this point of repentance. Do you find God often puts you in places to give you an opportunity to repent, to get right? Do you ever get yourself in a difficulty or you find yourself in a hard time and you're like, okay, God, is there something in my life and we're willing to look to Him? I had a friend when I was in high school. He was telling me about this when he was maybe fifth or sixth grade. He was playing in one of the metro parks there in Cleveland, Ohio with some friends. It was near the Rocky River Reservation, had some pretty high little cliff areas, and this was the 80s, and so there wasn't fences and stuff around everything, and they're playing and too close to the edge, and he got too close to the edge and began sliding down an embankment, and it was going to go over a cliff pretty soon, and he's grabbing on to anything he can. He finally grabs some roots of a tree that were hanging out of the ground there, and as he's hanging there, his feet are dangling down over the edge of this, and he said it was probably a 20-foot drop. He had a friend down there offering this. It's not that far. Just jump. Just let go. And he's like, no, I'm not doing that. He knew enough not to do that. But this young man said as he was sitting there hanging on to that, he said he cried out to the Lord. And he said, God, I'll never cuss again if you get me out of this. And he was able to finally start climbing out of there. I don't think he kept his promise, by the way, but his condition led him to repentance. Now, you've been in some conditions, haven't you? And God will often use those conditions to bring us to the point of repentance, crying out to God, God, help me. God, save me. God, get me out of this situation. Lord, I recognize where I'm at. I don't want to be here. God, help me. Now, not every negative circumstance we will encounter is because of sin in our lives. Only known to God, oftentimes, He has a holy purpose and a reason that He does allow us to go through some of the greatest difficulties that one could imagine. And it's not because of sin. It's not because you're out of the will of God. It's because God has allowed it. God has ordained it. God has saw fit to allow your life to go that direction. But I think it's a good thing when we find ourselves in difficult conditions to examine yourself. And I would encourage you to do that. Is there sin in my life? Do a reflection. Look within. Next Sunday we'll be observing the Lord's Supper. We'll talk about looking within again, examining your own heart to see if there's any sin in there. I think that's a strong thing and a wise thing for us to do. You may recognize that, no, I don't know of any known sin, and I think I'm right with God, and God's just allowing this. But you might recognize that there's some sin in your life. And what a great opportunity to get right with God. We see their condition, we see their repentance, and praise the Lord, we see their salvation, we see their deliverance. Again, in each of these four pictures, now notice the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord. In this first picture here of being lost in the wilderness, look at verse number 7. And He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Remember, they're lost. They can't find a city. They can't find a place of habitation. But then He, the Lord, led them by the right way that they might go forth to the city of habitation. Verse number 9 says, For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The Lord came through. The Lord delivered. Notice with me in verse 14, in this second picture of being bound in this pit in the prison, verse 14 says, He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. They were chained, you remember, and God broke those bands and brought them out of that darkness. Look at verse number 16. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Not only even out of the pit, out of the dungeon, but out of the compound. He's taken down the gate. They have free rein to get out of this place. God has delivered them. Notice with me verse number 20. This is that one that's on his deathbed. He says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Notice with me in verse number 29. This is that one that's on the stormy sea. He maketh the storm a calm, so the waves thereof are still. In each of these conditions, the repentance comes out and the salvation is right behind. The deliverance is there. I'm grateful that when we call out to God, He's there and He answers. I must warn you, He doesn't always answer the way we think He's going to, but He does answer and He provides a way of deliverance and salvation. So those are the three thoughts this evening, the three facts, their condition, their repentance, their salvation. But I want to ask you this question, is there praise? The verse number 8, verse 15, verse number 21, and verse number 31, these four times that the psalmist says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. As I meditated on this psalm and these particular verses, it seems to me that the psalmist is putting these verses in here not so much about these people, the ones of this condition and the ones that have repented and the ones that have been delivered, but for the readers, for us. Would we look at these four conditions, these four times they repent, these four times they're delivered, and would we praise God? Would we glorify God for what He's done in these people's lives and also use it for a time for us to reflect in our own lives? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works. Get this now. To the children of men. That you could share that with others. Some of the greatest ways you can help somebody is by sharing how God's worked in your life, isn't it? Someone's going through a difficulty, and you can share maybe a similar story. I think I've probably shared this thought with you already, this moment in our lives when we were young in the ministry and just had our second boy. He was just a few weeks old. We lost a four-month-old nephew. He had had a rare disease that he had from birth, and it took his life at 4 months old. And down in Ohio, and we came back. In fact, Psalm 108 is the psalm that I preached out of that day at his funeral, the psalm right next door to this one, Psalm 108, about a brook in the way. And I preached that funeral that day, and as the Lord guides me, you don't know what to say, as my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and we were heavy hearts for them, but the Lord guided me to direct a thought in that message of how God would use this for His glory, if they would allow this. And one of the ways that God has used that couple, my brother and sister-in-law, on multiple times throughout their lives, is by being able to share that tragic moment in their lives with someone else going through a similar tragic time. Losing a child, maybe losing a child at birth, a child that has a rare disease, they've been able to be a help and a blessing to them. And in that, praising God for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, others, those that are going through those things. Church, don't let your difficulties and your trials go to waste. God can use them. Be ready to share them. Be quick to be able to say, let me share how God worked in our lives during one of the most difficult times of my life, during one of the most tragic times of my life. God got us through, and this is how. And share that with other people, those that need it. I imagine when you're ready and willing and able to do that, God will bring people across your path There will be some divine appointments. Someone brings up a situation or you hear of a situation and you're able to be a blessing and a help. Is there praise? These examples and illustrations certainly can remind us of our times in the wilderness, our times in those prisons or dungeons, those times that we feel like we're on our deathbed or in the storms of life, how the Lord has delivered us. And when we know how He's done it before, we know God will do it again because He's faithful. He's always good. So I trust this evening we'll allow this psalm of thanksgiving and praise, to minister to our hearts, our lives, in these days ahead. And we would look for the opportunities that God would give us to give thanks, to give praise to our great God and for our great God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this evening. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You may be going through one of these difficulties right now. In fact, I heard years and years and years ago, you're either in a trial or difficulty, just got out of a trial or difficulty, or you're getting ready to head into a trial. This life is full of difficulties. We live in a sin-cursed world, and there's disease, and there's tragedies, there's difficulties. We may have some folks tonight that are in those right now. Would you cry out to God? Would you look to Him for salvation and deliverance from these things? Trust Him in these matters? See, God, what is in my life that I need to get taken care of? Maybe there's some sin in your life you need to get taken care of, or maybe it's just, God, you're trying to teach me something, so I'm going to listen. And would you look for those opportunities to praise God? We would look for those opportunities to say, as the psalmist says in verse number 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." Father, help us this evening now. I pray, God, that You'd work in our hearts and our lives. Lord, for those hearts that You've touched this evening, may they be obedient to You. That might mean they stay there at their pew and they talk to You right there. They come to this altar this evening. But Lord, help us to be obedient to You. Take this invitation now, Lord. Use it for Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, as the piano begins to play, the Lord spoke to your heart. Would you step out this evening, bow your heart and your head right there at your pew. Let's listen to the Lord tonight.